I'm Maggie.
And I'm Kristen.
And this is Hot Chocolate and a Movie.
Which sounds better, emotionally stunted or cold dead heart?
Cold dead heart sounds better. That's why I used it.
Okay, come on. I don't know. I'm going to take that back. I don't think that's a bad metaphor. I think that's just what happened. Nope, I can't make it work. Cut. I know what a metaphor is.
Welcome to Hot Chocolate and a Movie, the podcast where we talk about Christmas movies and what makes them great. This week, we are doing our first listener request, and there will be spoilers.
All right, this week we watched The Holiday. Mm-hmm. I watched this on Netflix.
Me too.
And I'd actually tried to watch this one, I think, last Christmas, but I think they took it off before I could finish it, because when I went to go start it up, it was like, resume, and it was halfway through the movie.
Is this the first time you finished it?
No, I've seen this movie. This is my third time watching it. Good. Because last time when I couldn't finish it on Netflix, I know I saw it somewhere else.
Yeah, you have to seek it out to finish it. Because it's a good movie.
It is.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it again.
Okay, so obviously huge actors in this movie.
Yeah, and a lot of them.
Yeah, so many. So Kate Winslet plays Iris.
Right.
Cameron Diaz, Amanda. Mm-hmm. There are two main leads because this is a movie with two storylines.
Right.
Which is fun.
So Jude Law plays Graham. Mm-hmm. And then Jack Black plays Miles.
Right.
But we also saw, very briefly, Catherine Hahn was in it as, I don't know, one of her co-workers. Do you know Catherine Hahn?
No.
Okay.
Whose co-worker? Iris's?
Amanda's.
Oh, that must have been the girl helper.
Yes.
Yeah, next to
John Krasinski.
Yeah.
Krasinski.
We saw Dustin Hoffman for a moment.
Oh, that was a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there was the ex-boyfriend looked familiar too.
Oh, yeah. He's in stuff. Often as a bad guy.
Oh, and Jasper is in a lot of stuff too.
Oh, that's who I thought you meant.
Oh, no. I meant Amanda's ex-boyfriend.
He may not often be a bad guy, but yes, he did look familiar.
Yeah. But you're right. Yeah, Jasper does, or that actor does always play a bad guy. He's got a good face for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we've got Rufus Sewell is Jasper.
Okay.
Eli Wallach plays Arthur. And Edward Burns is Ethan, who is Amanda's ex.
So, obviously, a lot of familiar faces. We also should mention about the author, I guess, or something like that. This is a Nancy Meyers film.
Right.
And that's why we loved it so much. It was so heartwarming and emotional and fun.
She's always good. Not to be confused with Nora Ephron.
Right.
Which is always happening on Brooklyn Nine-Nine because Rosa loves Nancy Meyers films, not Nora Ephron. Get it straight.
Okay. Thank you.
We've got to do a 30-second summary of a long movie. This movie is a good almost 45 minutes longer than most of the movies we've reviewed.
Well, it's because it's two films in one. It, like,
yeah.
Follows two totally intertwined and yet separate plots.
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like I got my money's worth when I was watching this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. They don't skip on any plot.
No, at all. Loved it. 30 seconds, starting now.
Okay, Amanda lives in L.A. and Iris lives in London, and they both have different reasons to be dissatisfied with their lives and their love lives, so they decide they're going to switch homes in a home exchange and start afresh. And Amanda gets to Iris's home, and that's where she meets Graham, and they hit it off, and she finds out along the line that Graham is a widower with two little children, and they fall in love. Iris is over in L.A., she strikes up a friendship with her elderly neighbor who's a screenwriter and then also meets Jack Black, can't remember his name, who does songwriting, and they fall in love too.
Okay. A little over 30 seconds.
I think we're splitting hairs there, but okay.
And we should have done a minute because this was two films in one.
This was a long one. Yeah. Okay, well, you have to cover the stuff I missed, which is mainly Iris's stuff, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so Iris is in L.A., and she meets Miles, who is Amanda's neighbor, and he is also going through some emotional turmoil, too, because he is dating an actress named Maggie, of all things, and, you know, he always goes for the bad girls. Meanwhile, Iris is trying to get over her ex from 3 years ago, who is recently engaged and has been stringing Iris along the whole time, but Iris is ready to take on new challenges, new experiences. She befriends her elderly neighbor and has a great holiday.
I like how you kept going after you saw hitting 30 seconds.
I felt like that was the norm. I thought that was...
I do it one time. Okay, so yeah, two big stories.
What did you think about the way it was kind of filmed then, too? Because it would be like a little bit of like Amanda's life and then a little bit of Iris's life. And it kind of switched back and forth between the two. But there were huge chunks where, like, Amanda would be doing something and then I think, what's Iris doing now, you know?
I never thought that. I guess I just followed right along with whatever Nancy Myers wanted to show me. And I was like, yep, this is what we should be doing. I really liked how she intertwined the two stories. Also, because I really loved the scenes that we got where the stories collided.
Yeah.
Like when Iris takes the phone call from Graham, and then she's also got a phone call from Amanda at the same time. And suddenly your different stories are interacting with each other. Yeah. And that was really fun. Good payoff in that.
Yeah.
And the story was just paced so beautifully.
Yeah.
Everybody's hitting the right spots in their emotional arc all together as we go, but they're still very different stories. And the way they, Amanda and Graham's story obviously started out hot and heavy from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then meanwhile, you've got Iris and Miles, which is much more delayed.
Yeah.
So you kind of get to see different stages of a love story at different times.
Right.
Which I thought was nice for maintaining interest and, like, yeah, just differentiating between their stories. If they were both going through the exact same beats on a love story at the same time, I don't think it would have been as interesting as they managed to make it.
Right. And I think it made the characters very different, too. You know, it wasn't just, like you said, a broken heart love story or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a different experience because they were different people.
Right.
I liked how the movie opened with, like, Kate Winslet narrating a little bit about, like, you know, what love is and how people fall in and out of love.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, like, how much better would my life be if it was narrated by her?
It'd be so much better.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you.
I know.
It'd be great.
So I'm going to look into that.
Are you?
I don't know what I can do for that, but
Kate Winslet, if you're listening.
Good time.
Really love you. She might be my favorite actress. Sometimes she's my favorite actress.
Okay.
She's really wonderful.
Yeah, well, she is my favorite actress, so I would like, I'm just kidding.
She can narrate your life instead of mine.
I'm just saying. But then that was kind of funny, too, because Amanda had these points where her life was being narrated by that movie theater trailer.
I loved that. That was such a great touch.
And it was perfect because it tied into her life, because that's what she does, is she...
You know that's how she would hear her inner narrator.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What is that job called? It cannot just be, like, movie trailer maker, right?
Well, he is a voiceover artist.
No, but what's Amanda's job?
Movie trailer maker.
Okay.
I mean, probably editor, I would think.
Okay.
That specializes in trailers.
Well, I just was...
But they seem like editors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of editing in the movies that we watch, Maggie, in one form or another,
but
because...
she's not like, oh, I've got to give up movie trailer editing to go back to my real calling, which is writing the movies themselves.
That's true.
This movie manages to honor all stages of the creative process.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, too, that even though they're not exactly the same, I felt like, you know, there were some similarities between what Amanda did and what Iris did, because that's still media, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're all in narrative stuff.
Yeah. I thought, what did you think of the, like, newspaper office? Where were they? What was the office that Iris worked in?
I think they were, I mean, yeah, it was a newspaper. She worked for a newspaper.
Right. So...
they looked very busy. This looked like definitely 20 years ago.
Yeah, because did you see, like, that girl was smoking at the office party?
Yeah.
Like, what?
I don't think that would happen now. No. But I don't think they have that many people working for newspapers now.
That's a good point,
their
too.
Office parties are probably not nearly as much fun.
Yeah. Okay.
Real quick about Amanda's trailer.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie.
Which one?
The one they cut the trailer for with Lindsay Lohan. Oh, Lindsay Lohan was in it. Oh,
yes!
My God. This is our third Lindsay Lohan film.
I know.
I can't believe I forgot that. And James Franco?
Yeah, James Franco.
Yeah, I would like to watch that movie. It's probably not really good because they said, we made it look like a hit. Which means the raw material's maybe not great, but they did make it look like a hit.
Do you think that this listener request was just a way to trick us into watching an additional Lindsay Lohan movie? Which I'm fine with. I'm not
listener,
mad.
Listener, if this was you, you may write in and tell us.
Feel
free to gloat.
It worked out great. I was pleasantly surprised to see Lindsay Lohan. And even though, like I said, I've seen this before, I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I kind of think we should rewind a little bit and talk about how the movie starts with the dual heartbreaks, really.
All right, so our movie starts out with...
Amanda breaking up with her ex.
Her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend.
You don't break up with exes.
I know, I can't remember his name, and so I just have been thinking of him as the ex.
But him.
I mean, they've already probably broken up at this point because he's sleeping on the couch when the movie starts.
Well, they're rocky, but she's actually throwing him out.
Right.
The next day.
Yeah.
And this is when he admits that he cheated on her as mm-hmm. well. So I think this is the breakup.
This is the breakup.
Yeah. So that happens. And at the same time, Iris is finding out this guy she's been in love with for ages, who also cheated on her in the past.
Right.
Yet she's still hanging on, is going to marry the person he cheated on her with.
Well, and not only that, he keeps finding ways to, like, keep her tied to him.
Yeah. Oh, he's the real villain of the movie.
Absolutely. He's, like, flirting with her. Mm-hmm. He's making time to talk to her kind of one-on-one, like, sneaking around to talk on her. Mm-hmm. And there's this big moment where their engagement is announced at the holiday party, but right before that, he was talking to her. He could have said something. Yep. He knows exactly.
He was
exactly.
in her office, just those two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Iris is, like, devastated by that, which was really sad, too, because it was like, come on, this guy's clearly a villain. He's got the face of a villain.
He does. Face of a villain.
Yeah.
And Amanda is also sad, but not so sad that she cries, because we find out she's kind of emotionally stunted mm-hmm. from years past trauma with her parents breaking up, and she hasn't cried in, like, decades.
Right. And also, she wasn't really, you know, I think she realizes she was never really in love with that guy.
Yeah. Do you think she realizes that?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I do think that. I think she makes a comment later on about she doesn't know if she's ever really been in love or something like
that.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I think she knows, like, that was not the real deal. I think she's probably more angry and hurt mm-hmm. and starting to question herself, too, as to why she, in particular, has not found, you know, a steady, stable, loving relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good description.
Yeah, thanks.
So that's where they start.
Yeah.
And that's what leads them to be willing to trade places for Christmas.
The next day. Like, they're ready to
get
up.
Yeah, they both do it quick. They're, like, done.
Yeah. I love that little, like, IM chat exchange about switching mm-hmm. houses. I thought it was really funny when they're talking of, like, describing themselves. And Iris is like, I'm very normal. Like, if you have to say that, but okay.
How would you feel about completely switching homes with somebody?
No.
Like, their car, everything.
No, I would not feel well about that.
Even if you had access to their home.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I couldn't do it. I don't think so.
I would think in my younger years I could have done it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe if I was younger. And I thought it was weird that they could, like, change cars. Also, I had to, like, Google, can you just drive in another country? And you can.
Yeah, I think you can. Yeah. If you have a valid driver's license, you can do it.
But I didn't know that.
So. I don't know that I'd want to.
No, and I definitely would not want to ride in Amanda's car while
she didn't do a good job.
She was terrible at that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was going to say she got better at driving throughout the movie, but I think she just quit driving.
Yeah.
Graham drove her, or she's walking everywhere. I think she embraced walking, which is good, because LA is such a car-based lifestyle.
There you go.
She needed a little bit of time to stretch her legs.
Yeah, she needed a change. She really did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she got it, but when she got to the cabin, or the cottage, I mean, when she got to the cottage, it was really cozy. It was exactly what she was looking for, but 6 hours later, she's ready to go.
Yeah, she was jumping out of her own skin.
Mm-hmm.
But then Graham shows up.
Yeah. And we kind of get an idea of Graham from the opening scenes, too, about, you know, how some people chase love or something mm-hmm. like that. And we get the idea that he's, you know, not looking for anything serious.
Finds love for the night. I believe mm-hmm. that was his.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he finds love that night.
Mm-hmm.
And Amanda kind of makes a comment about how she never does anything like this, but she just, you know, wants to go for it. So they end up hitting it off really well. And they both kind of think that it's like a one night thing. I really like how much Graham is just trying to, like, get out of there. And Amanda's like, yep, see ya. You know, he's like, you know, sometimes, you know, people think that I'm trying to have a serious relationship, but I'm not. Or, you know, whatever he says. And she's like, okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to say about Amanda is she nearly fell when she was walking to the cottage. She did not, but she almost did.
She got a face full of snow on her, didn't she?
She did.
Yeah.
But I didn't see any other falls, and I was on the lookout for them.
I know you were. I believe you. Yeah. This movie was light on the Christmas things.
It was.
They did have some Christmas music, some Christmas parties.
Hanukkah party.
Hanukkah party, that's right. They did. But there was nothing Hanukkah-y about the party. I don't know. Called it that.
I think there was so much footage that we couldn't see it all. You know what I mean? They probably had a longer party.
That's probably true. Yeah. They were having a really good time. So they spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
One thing that I thought was a little funny. So in case we haven't covered it in depth yet, Graham, we find out, is actually a widower. And he has two adorable little daughters that Amanda comes to meet over time. And it's nice to know that even in this higher budget Christmas movie, you still kind of have that Hallmark staple of the widower, the handsome widower with two adorable children who needs a wife.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what your budget is, it always works in a Christmas movie. And we have it here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It did work. It worked really well. Were you surprised by that, like, reveal later on? Because there's moments where Graham and Amanda are together and his phone will ring and it'll say, like, Sophie. And he'll pick it up and she's like, you know, I wonder who that is.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of led to believe that, you know, he is not looking for anything serious. He might be dating tons of other women. Mm-hmm. So were you surprised?
I think I was. It's been a long time since I saw it for the first time.
Yeah.
I think I saw it in theaters when it came out. So it's been a long time. I think I was surprised.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, movie. You got, me. You got me.
Oh, and how cute were those girls, too? They were so adorable.
Very cute.
Yeah.
And Amanda actually learns to interact with them a little bit. She seems like she doesn't have a lot of experience with children, but when she realizes there are children in the picture, they get along great.
Yeah.
They have a really sweet night, the four of them together.
Yeah.
She's the first woman that's gone back to Graham's house to meet the daughters.
Although she didn't go to meet the daughters.
She just showed up there. She wasn't invited.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she was welcomed anyways.
She was invited in once she showed up.
Yeah.
And they had a beautiful night together, all four of them. But they still weren't sure what to do with it because Amanda doesn't live there, Kristen.
Yeah.
She lives in L.A.
Yeah.
She has a very successful business there.
And she still didn't seem like she wanted to commit. Like, it seemed like they were still really saying, you know, we're not going to fall in love. We're not going to do that. I was looking at my notes because when you were talking about when she goes to the house, somebody was like, are you into hot chocolate? And I was like, who's not into hot chocolate?
Amanda is still, she's into hot chocolate.
She's into hot chocolate, for sure.
She's going to fit right in that family.
I think she will. She is so, like, she's a strong woman. She's funny. She's, you know, interesting. I think they really tried hard to give her a flaw, and it's that she can't cry. But, I mean,
I think she does have a flaw, too, in that I think she thinks there's something wrong with her.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? And maybe the she can't cry is just the outward representation of that. Yeah. But I think she's actually more insecure than she wants people to think she is.
That's probably very true. Mm-hmm. And when they go out to dinner on one of their dates, you know, she's asking Graham about his family. And he's like, oh, my dad's like a historical author and my mom is big at a publishing house. Tell me about your family. And she just says, my parents divorced when I was 15 and I can't cry. But like, what are they doing?
Yeah, but that's all it's all you need to know about the family, right?
Yeah. And I get that
my
was a really...
My dad's into woodwork. Nothing.
Like, are they alive?
Yeah.
Where do they live?
I never saw them after they left at 15.
That's kind of what I thought it was going to be like. She saw the suitcase out of the corner of her eye and her dad left and she never saw him again. Or her mom left. But we don't know. And I don't know if it was just too traumatic for her to talk about.
I'm worried about her parents now.
I was waiting for the rest...
Are they dead?
Huh. What was in the suitcase? Oh, my gosh. Too dark.
Yeah, that was unusual. Yeah, that was a little strange. But, you know, she said she doesn't know how to behave on a first date. So, because she was, like, questioning him. Like, it was a job interview. But maybe she also doesn't know how to answer first date questions.
That could be.
Yeah. So, after they've decided, where is this going? This isn't going to work.
Yeah.
They spend a few days apart. And then he shows up at the cottage one night. I guess the girls must be with the grandparents again.
Okay.
And then they're like, forget it. We really do love each other. We're kind of all in.
Yeah.
But then the next morning comes and they're still like, well, what are we going to do? Long distance? I don't know. We'll try it.
Yeah.
She starts driving away and she cries in the cab. And this is how we know her cold, dead heart has been thawed and she is ready to embrace love.
Yeah.
And she goes back and they have such a nice little reunion. But still, what are they going to do? Is she going to leave her business in L.A.? London and L.A. are very inconvenient to each other.
Yeah, it sounds like they are. Also, which sounds better, emotionally stunted or cold dead heart?
Cold dead heart sounds better. That's why I used it.
Okay.
Come on.
I don't know. Well, I mean, she does own her own business, and this is, like, you know, 2006, I guess, at this point. Maybe she can do it from London.
Maybe. I think what would happen is she would move to London, and her work would slowly dry up because she was no longer on the spot.
Well, then it should be the opposite. He should move to L.A.
What did he do again?
Whew.
What did he do?
I wrote that down.
Oh, he's an editor.
An editor!
An editor. Oh, they're both editors. Just different kind of editing.
Oh.
I feel like he could definitely move.
Yeah.
But he's got kids.
Well, you know what, though? She does work a lot. She works long hours. You know, maybe they could do something where, you know, she stays in her place for some time, and then she goes back to London, and he goes, with, you know, they can make it work. She has so much money. She can do it. She
does have a lot of money.
Yeah.
I feel like it's funny thinking, well, maybe she could just quit her job, but I don't want her to have to do that.
No.
But that's what she did in real life. Cameron Diaz quit acting not that long after this movie.
Yeah.
And I think she's probably out there just living her best life, doing whatever she wants every day.
Well, sure.
That's what Amanda should do. She has made a ton of money.
But she likes her job.
Yeah, that's true.
And
she's just going to have to cut trailers for the BBC.
She could. But why should she have to be penalized for being so good at her job? I think that they can make it work. I think they will make it work.
I hope they do, too. Let's go back to the beginning.
Let's go back to the beginning.
So back to Iris's story.
Yeah.
She gets horrible news that the man she loves, God only knows why,
right,
is marrying somebody else.
Yeah.
She's got to get out of town.
Yeah.
Well,
and, like, not only is he marrying someone else, her job is to cover, like, society weddings.
Right.
And this is going to be one of those that she's going to have to cover. And it's
extra
announced
bad
publicly in front of everybody she works with who knows her history of, you know, being in love with this guy.
Pretty awkward. Like, that newsroom chief, read the room, man. Does he not know? Is he the only one who doesn't know that she's in love with him?
He was probably too drunk to care.
You think that's it?
Yeah.
Holiday spirits got to him.
Yeah.
So, thank God she has 2 weeks off at Christmas.
Yeah.
Because she does not own her own company like Amanda does. But right. She gets a Christmas break. Which, is that a thing in the newspaper industry?
No, I think she was using all her vacation time, basically, because they said she has
missed that. Okay.
Well, I'm guessing that, because they said she hasn't taken a vacation in, like, 4 years.
Okay.
And I think they made a point to say that the newspaper was still going to be open, but it would be, like, you know, a bare-bones kind of staff.
Mm.
So it was good timing, I guess.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I'm glad she got to leave.
Yeah.
She gets to go to L.A.
Yeah.
It was funny going, Rose Cottage, where Iris lives, felt very Christmassy.
Yeah, there's some garland.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
And then you get to L.A., which obviously feels not Christmassy at all.
Right.
And I say that with understanding, because where we live, it's very warm sometimes at Christmas time, too.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the Christmas feel. And they've got the Santa Ana winds going the whole time. So it's probably even warmer than normal. In L.A. at Christmas. The change that probably brought to her perspective, mm-hmm. had to be pretty big.
Yeah.
From what she was coming from to what she ended up with, you could see why she kind of, like, went a little bit crazy happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the scenes, like, going back and thinking about how the different scenes were filmed, like, wherever Amanda or Iris, wherever they were when they were in England was, like, a little bit of a darker filter. It had mm-hmm. a cozier feel. And anytime Amanda or Iris were in L.A., it was bright, it was sunny.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And so Iris is going from her small, cozy little cottage, and where she's playing Christmas music, for one thing, mm-hmm. you know, to this bright, sunny mansion, and it's not Christmassy at all.
Mm-hmm. And she loves it.
Loves it, mm-hmm. yes. I loved when she was running around and looking at every room, and then, like, she gets to the gym, and she's like,
No thanks. Okay, so as she's learning her way around, she spots her elderly neighbor, Arthur, walking around. And later on, she discovers him because he is a little bit turned around on the street and can't find which house is his.
Right. And he kind of explains that he's lived there for so long mm-hmm. that, you know, he basically got to the point where as homes were being torn down and replaced, one of the ones that replaced a previous home or was built, it wasn't familiar to him.
Yeah, and so he lost his landmarks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is sad.
That was sad.
He was a screenwriter from the Golden Age of Hollywood, we find out.
Yeah.
He's a really cool guy. He and Iris hit it off so well.
Yeah.
He can just tell how kind she is, I think. And she really just needs a friend.
Yeah.
And he's there to be it for her.
Yeah.
I liked their relationship a whole lot.
I did too. And I felt like this was a difference in the characters. I cannot see Amanda approaching somebody and wanting to talk to them.
No. Yeah.
And not, you know, not that she would be rude or anything, but that's just not the kind of person she was. But yeah. Iris really, one, wanted to help her neighbor when she thought he was in trouble, but two, was connected to him. Mm-hmm. And open to building a friendship with him.
And open to what he had to teach her.
Yeah.
Like, even on little stuff, like, you know, he made her a list of movies that she watches, and she watches them, yeah. You know? But also, like, you know, he gives her life advice pretty early on.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you are not behaving like the lead in your own story. And she takes that to heart.
Yeah.
And really starts changing her own behavior because of it.
Yeah.
And she helps him out in turn because they want to do an award ceremony for him that he is reluctant to do. He doesn't think anybody will come, and he doesn't want to get up there because he's an old man now. He can't walk on his own. And she's like, well, you know what? Let's get in shape together. We'll get you walking, and I will go with you as your date.
Yeah.
And they have a beautiful little story where she gets him ready. The cutest little old person training montage ever.
Yeah.
Love it.
And then when that moment finally comes and they walk through the doors at the award ceremony, I was tearing up because it was so sweet to see all these people that were there just to honor him. And, and he was overcome, and Iris was overcome, and it was just really beautiful.
It was. It was such a nice moment.
Yeah.
So, Miles, how does he come into this?
So, Miles works with Amanda's ex, and he, for some reason, is sent to pick up the ex's, like, stuff, laptop.
Yeah, possessions and whatnot.
So, he pulls into the driveway. He's got his girlfriend, Maggie, there with him.
Evil Maggie.
Evil Maggie.
Not to be confused with me.
I'm already confused.
Not to be confused.
Sure, sure.
Anyways.
So, Miles is also dating an evil Maggie. Is that...
The word also. I don't understand also.
Okay.
Like you know, other people dating evil Maggies is it sounds like.
Okay. Miles is dating one of the evil Maggies.
Got worse. Okay. Continue.
And he comes to pick up, I guess, the ex's laptop or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's their kind of meet cute, which we hear about from Arthur, where the wind is blowing and Iris gets an eyelash, gets something stuck in her eyelash. And Miles gets it out for her, and they have this, like, kind of, you know,
cutesy
moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then evil Maggie kind of ruins it. She gets out of the car.
It's like, is it time to go now?
Right. Because she doesn't have time for anyone else except herself.
Right. But she was interrupting her boyfriend's meet cute with somebody else.
Okay. I guess if you look at it that way, then maybe it's evil Miles.
But honestly, I mean, it wasn't, like, a super romantic moment. They were very just, like, pals.
Yeah, that's true, too. I will say that. I did like how... Iris was at least like, let me check with Amanda's assistant. I'm not just going to give
you... Yeah, so practical and smart. Yep. I didn't even think about that. She was like, you're a stranger, so let me just double check that I'm supposed to give you these possessions.
Right.
Yeah. That was smart. Iris is a thinker.
Yeah.
So they become friends.
Yeah, because he does come back to get the stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I think when he comes back, is that when he meets Arthur?
Yeah, gets invited into the Hanukkah party.
Yeah, and they have a good time talking, and that was a really cute scene also.
You first see it in Arthur's eyes when he first starts thinking about matchmaking Iris and Miles.
Yeah.
That was cute.
He can tell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he kind of becomes part of that friendship with Arthur and Iris.
He writes Arthur his own music.
Yeah.
To kind of inspire him when he is... going up to the stage and having to walk without help for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
So he gives him inspiring music for it. And that's the moment where we find out he also wrote a song for Iris that he said, if Iris was a melody, I used only the good notes.
Yeah.
It's so sweet. And you can tell Iris is so touched by it.
Yeah.
It means a lot to her. Yeah. Is that after he's broken up with Maggie?
That's what I was trying to figure out.
I think it's before.
So, because Iris and Miles become good friends, you know, they're going through some of the movies that Arthur has recommended, and they go to Blockbuster, and Miles is playing this game where he'll hold up a movie and play the theme song, or sing the theme song from the movie, and one of the ones he does is The Graduate, and that's when they see Dustin Hoffman. That's so funny.
Dustin Hoffman's like, I can't go anywhere.
And then while they're at that Blockbuster, Miles looks out the window, and he sees... Maggie with someone else. He's got his arm wrapped around her. She's clearly on a date. But like, how bold do you have to be to go on a date with someone else in the town that you live
LA
with
is
your boyfriend?
Very big.
You think it's worth the risk, Maggie?
I'm just saying, it's a fair it's a fair risk to make.
Sure.
If you're gonna, the bad part is the cheating. The bad part is not the going out while cheating.
You're right. You're right.
It's perspective.
Okay.
And it was really bad luck on her part that she ran into Miles. But good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm pro Miles in this situation. I want to come down. I'm pro Miles.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we find out that that only evil Maggie in the world has been cheating on Miles.
Right.
And we thought she was out of town. She was only out of town for a little ways and then came back, but kept talking to him like she was out of town. So he was, like, extra hurt by that because he felt foolish.
Well, she, like, blatantly lied. She was like, oh, it's snowing here.
And yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah, it was just awful.
Was that product placement for weather.com when he talked about it?
Oh. He did mention weather.com, didn't he?
What other? Should we go to product placement or no? Should we wait?
Are you saying there was other product placement?
Did you not get any other?
Not a thing.
Okay. Sony, for sure.
Sony?
Yeah.
Because of all the gear? The
computer was Sony, and then also one of the CD players was Sony.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. You have more? You're going to a list.
Pepsid?
Pepsid?
Oh my gosh, yes.
What? Who was Pepsid?
Amanda did. They made a big deal about her having, like,
esophageal spasms.
Yes.
My mom has those. That's how I make me laugh every time. No. She doesn't. I don't think that's an approved drug for that.
Amanda had it twice. There were two separate scenes where Pepsid, that I saw, there could have been more.
Totally did not notice that.
Okay. FedEx was mentioned when he talked about mailing her, mailing Maggie his Christmas present.
Mm-hmm.
And Hugo Boss made the suit that Arthur wore.
That's right. So. The Hugo Boss one. That does seem pretty obvious. Even the big budget films still use it.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Okay. Miles and Maggie break up.
Yeah.
And Iris is able to really help Miles a lot in the situation by sharing her own situation. And he's like, wow, you need this alcoholic drink more than I do.
Yeah. Yours really sucks. Yeah.
And they really bond over it, I think.
Yeah, they understand each other. Mm-hmm. When Miles was being broken up with or realizing what was going on with Maggie, you could, like, see from outside, you could see, like, his body, like, slumping. You know? Like, it was so sad.
And Iris, you could see her just, like, oh, she was just breaking for him.
Yeah.
She felt so bad. So later on, when they're out to dinner and this is leading up to the big event, the award ceremony.
Right.
They're out to dinner and Miles gets a call from Maggie asking him to come over, and it's clear that she wants him back, and he goes, and Iris is sad about that. Meanwhile, Iris goes home, and who shows up at her place? Jasper.
Yeah.
And from across the ocean.
He's gross about it, too. He's like, I left you a surprise. Like, he's some type of, like, cat.
It's me. I'm so great.
Yeah. And, like, playing a game with her for real.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going all through the house, you know, trying to find where it could be. And she opens up the front door and it's him there with the present.
Yuck.
In the meantime, though, he has sent her his latest piece for her to, like, look over.
Novel pages.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she had specifically requested that he leave her alone so that she can move on. But he manages to find her, call her, and message her, too, while she's on this break.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one scene where she wakes up and she's, like, so happy to be in L.A. And Are You Gonna Be My Girl comes on. And she starts, like, dancing in bed to it. She's, like, literally dancing in bed. It's a fun scene. But then she gets a call from Jasper and it, like, totally ruins her day.
She gets back in bed.
Yeah.
She brings the blinds down. She's back and sad. Okay, so Jasper shows up. And at first, Iris is kind of excited, and it seems like they're for real getting together.
Yeah.
Finally, it's happening. Only things unfold a little bit, and she realizes, oh, wait, you're still engaged to be married? And she realizes he's there just to keep her dangling on. He just can't bear to let her go. He's got to have her always wanting him.
Right.
And she finally sees him for what he is. And she's like, thank God, it's over. I finally get it. It's over. And I have somewhere to be. And that's when she goes off to the award ceremony.
Yeah. And I'm glad it's her own realization. I'm glad she gets to have that moment of clarity. But was she going to miss the award ceremony previously?
I wondered that too.
Yeah.
She did look pretty comfy. I hope not.
I know.
Because that would make me think badly of her. But same with Miles. He's going through a very similar experience across town.
Yeah.
With Maggie trying to get him back and he's just sitting there and you kind of see the words washing over him and you don't know what he's going to do either.
Yeah.
And they both are risking not going.
Yeah, that's true. They do both make it. But maybe she was going to be like, maybe Iris was going to be like, okay, we're in love. Now you can come with me to this award.
Yeah.
You
know? She's awfully considerate of Arthur to think of her not making it after all this.
Yeah.
I think Miles is a little bit more, he might not make it.
But he does. And he plays Arthur's theme music.
Which is great.
Yes, and it gives him the energy and the courage he needs to go up those stairs. And he comes running into the auditorium and he slides in next to Iris. And they really have a pretty special moment there.
And he asks her out for New Year's.
And tells her for sure that he's done with evil
Maddie. Yeah, that's
right.
He leads with that.
Yeah.
Which is obviously a total change from Jasper, how he treats her. This guy is going to tell her the truth from the get-go and then ask her out.
Yeah.
And she's the only one.
Yeah, that is really sweet.
They're both so cute about it.
Yeah, they were. And
they're a funny contrast to Amanda and Graham, who are so steamy from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And then you got these two cutie pies over here. You just want them to be happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, the term meet cute is something that Arthur introduces a little earlier on in the film. He explains what it is. It's when the two lead characters have their initial meeting and, you know, it's something kind of cute, like looking for the top of a pair of pajamas and the bottom of a pair of pajamas.
Yeah,
and
that was cute. You could tell he's a writer. Yeah. That was like, nice, Arthur.
But were you familiar with the term meet cute before 2006?
Before 2006.
Or when this film...
I'm thinking.
Because I think
this is what introduced it to me.
Even seeing this movie a while ago, I think I really only became aware of the term meet cute, you know, maybe within the last 5 years or so.
You know what? I might have learned it from this movie.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I know for sure I did not know it before this movie.
Arthur, educating us all.
Yeah. We learned a lot.
Or Nancy Myers.
Yeah. Well, it takes a village. So. I also liked when they had Christmas fettuccine. I thought that sounded really good.
Yeah. And Amanda seemed to be having her Christmas fettuccine at the same time.
It was nice. Yeah.
It's a nice, easy Christmas Eve meal.
Yeah. Agreed.
Would this movie have been made better for you if there were more obvious holiday elements?
You know, we talked about, like, what makes a Christmas movie a Christmas movie. You know, definitely this needed to happen at the holidays for it to happen because of the time thing.
But I feel like they could have switched places at any other time of year, probably, and it would have been just as good.
Yes, but I also think that there's something about the holidays, specifically like Christmas and Hanukkah. It seems like that's not a time you want to be alone, you know, versus something like Halloween. Nobody cares. Or spring break is a more relaxed vibe, you know.
Another Halloween alone.
Yeah.
See, because the question I have in my mind is, this is called the holiday. Is it because it's the holiday? Or is it because, like, the British vacation holiday? I kind of think it's that one.
Yeah, I can see that. The British vacation.
But it is obviously very much a holidays movie.
Well, I don't know about very much, though, because there's not a lot of stuff we normally see. There's no Christmas carols. There's definitely
There are Christmas carols. No caroling. Yeah. Okay. But they use Christmas carols as a soundtrack. Especially in the first half of the movie, I noticed.
Yeah,
they did it more then, before we really got drawn into everybody's story more.
That is true. You're right. And then it kind of went into more like, I don't know, modern music, I guess, emotional music.
I guess a lot of the Christmassy stuff that you think of, it's really, you're only doing if you've got kids around. Like, there's a fair number of things that I wouldn't do if I didn't have kids to entertain during the holidays. But once Amanda, for instance, is hanging out with the adorable little children, that's when we're having hot chocolate.
That's true. You know? Yeah.
But she's not sitting on her own making a gingerbread house all by herself while she's living in England.
And she doesn't seem like the kind of person to rewatch Christmas movies.
No, I don't think so.
Or decorate or bake.
She's too busy working.
Yeah.
She has time for nothing else.
Right. There's no Christmas trees anywhere. There's stars decorating Graham's house at the end of the movie when they're having their New Year's Eve party.
And how cute was that tent?
Really?
That was a nice tent.
It was a nice tent.
Mm-hmm.
It was a nice tent. But I thought it was really weird when the little girl took her finger and took the lipstick off of Amanda's mouth and put it on her own mouth. Yeah. Like, if I was the dad or if I was a parent, I would be like, don't do that.
This was pre-COVID. It was a different time.
You could just take lipstick from strangers.
You can if you're like 3 and adorable. But she's not gross. 3. If you're like 6 and adorable.
No. No, it's so gross. Yuck.
Pre-COVID. That's how we all put on our lipstick. Just borrowed it from a friend.
Yeah. Okay.
Berry Kiss. I don't know the names of my lipsticks. I don't have many lipsticks, but I definitely don't know their names. Do you?
I don't really wear a lot of lipstick. But I do remember for a while, like, I'd have the Clinique names. I knew which ones I liked.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
I guess you were buying your own, not just taking it from your friends.
That's why you don't know the names, because it's whatever someone else was wearing.
That looks good. Wipe. Gross. All right. What is Miles and Iris's future?
I'm afraid to answer this because...
I feel like Iris is going to move. I think she loved L.A.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. She was really, really happy there.
Yeah. And her job, I think, could easily move. So, yeah that could work. Mm-hmm. But I also think Miles would be willing to move for her, too.
I think he would, too.
Yeah.
And I think he seems open to new experiences and would probably really enjoy living in England as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, gosh, boy, she really responded to L.A. She was happy there.
She was. She loved everything about it. She loved the pool. Mm-hmm. She loved going to different restaurants and seeing different sites. Yeah, she really embraced it.
I'm not saying the woman always has to move.
Okay.
I realize that's what I'm saying for these people.
Well, I don't think you're saying she has to move. I think you're saying she
would be
likely to move.
I mean, I don't think her job is all that fulfilling to her either. You know, she was kind of dashing it off. It wasn't like she was poring over how she was going to do this. She was just kind of churning it out to get onto the Christmas holidays.
Right.
So I think she would not be, like, devastated at leaving that particular writing job. And she probably could have written lots of things and still felt okay about it.
Right. I agree with that. But I really am stumped with Amanda and Graham. And I
don't know what their happy outcome is.
They make it work. They find a way.
I'm sure they do.
I thought it was funny when Cameron Diaz was in that tub because she was, you know, so long and did not look relaxing.
It's a deep tub, though.
It was. That's true.
All you need to do is bend your knees, Amanda. Bend your knees and you'll be fine. How big is her tub in L.A.?
She doesn't have time for baths. She only takes showers.
I believe that.
This one was also one of our racier movies to watch, too, because this one was PG-13.
Yes.
Yeah.
By far. Thanks to Amanda and Graham.
Yeah.
Who can't keep their hands off each other.
Oh, absolutely. Without their storyline, it would have definitely been a PG.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When did Love Actually come out?
That came out in, I believe, 2005.
Okay.
So this was first.
Yeah. No. Love Actually was 2003.
Oh, wow.
And Love Actually was R.
Of course it was R.
Okay.
Do you not remember the various... Plotline? Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, now that's coming back to me.
Gee whiz, what is your standard for R?
I guess I just didn't remember. Well, this one I was thinking about how you watch a lot of Christmas movies with your daughter, and I thought maybe I'll watch this one with my daughter.
Yeah, not this one.
I'm so glad I did not.
Although this one is not as steamy as I remembered it being.
I don't know, for watching with kids, it would...
Oh, sure, I wouldn't want to do that, but... and. Also, watching it after watching a lot of, like, Hallmark movies, it's like,
whoa.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Slow down, people. But other than that, I think I remembered it being steamier than it seems now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's just, like, usually you don't see couples, like, I don't know, get physical until after, like, the first snowball fight or something. First snowball fight. It's always, you know, something like that before. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one fell and, like, had to hold on to someone and then their eyes meet. There's nothing like that. So I was surprised.
So unrealistic.
Yes.
This movie.
They would just meet and then go for it. That's bizarre.
If you enjoyed today's show, please leave us a 5-star rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help. And just like this episode, if you would like to suggest a certain movie for us to cover, let us know.
I still really want to know what Amanda's parents are up to. Like, what happened to them on that mysterious, fateful night?
I'm just worried about the suitcase now.
Oh. Well, I mean, no wonder she's emotionally traumatized.